ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
When Arizona U.S. Senator John McCain died earlier this year, new attention was brought to glioblastoma, the brain cancer that killed him. It is the same cancer that took the life of Senator Ted Kennedy years ago. At UW-Milwaukee's Institute for Drug Discovery, teams of scientists are now working on new ways of diagnosing and treating that deadly cancer. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to talk to two UWM researchers involved in that research, which they hope someday may lead to a cure. Shama Mirza is an assistant professor of chemistry, and Doug Stafford, the director of UW-Milwaukee's Institute for Drug Discovery. Welcome to both of you. And Doug, let's begin with you. A deadly disease like this, I think it might surprise some folks that we have such advanced work going on right here in Milwaukee to try to find out the cause and perhaps the cure.
That's right, Tom, and thanks for having us. Much of the innovation in new drug discovery actually happens in academic centers, much like ours at UW-Milwaukee. And when you think about it, small groups of innovative scientists can approach an idea with not many barriers to this. We're not in a big corporate organization. And so we can approach ideas. That's really what we do as a university is seek knowledge, discovery, and we really have a lot of freedom to do that. And I think the project we'll talk about this morning is a great example of that. And I think further, what we're able to do is assemble really talented interdisciplinary teams. Drug discovery doesn't happen by one person. It's not a single scientist with their white coat and thick glasses working by themselves. We really work in teams. And I think that's part of the fun of what we do, but also the complexity of this kind of work where we need to integrate chemistry and biology and molecular biology, cellular biology, medicine, pathology, statistics, pharmacology, go through the whole list. And it's these teams that bring together the vast diversity of knowledge necessary to solve complex problems like glioblastoma. So that's what we do in our institute. In general, we try to approach unmet medical needs. Certainly cancer represents many unmet medical needs, meaning the current solutions to therapy are not quite what they should be. And so there are many cancers like glio where new solutions are needed. But we also have programs in central nervous system diseases to treat neuropathic pain where we can reduce the use of opioids. We have programs in epilepsy and schizophrenia. We also have programs in infectious disease, a very large program in asthma. So all of these programs use the innovation that a university can bring to the problem to advance medicine by bringing new solutions.
So Shama, as Doug describes the breadth of work that can be done in the institute, let me ask you about your specific work here, trying to find out the reasons behind this terrible brain cancer. First of all, what got you interested in looking in this particular area?
Thank you, Tom, for having us today to begin with. So what interested me is basically I'm an analytical chemist, and we have this great tool that can be used for translational science that we can use for benefit of the humankind, like patient care. And I've always been interested in cancer research because it's such a mysterious disease. And glioblastoma specifically is one of the lethal cancers to begin with. And once it is diagnosed, the lifespan is so short, like the median survival is less than 1.5 years. So we wanted to know what is the reason behind this. And even after having the similar treatment, the patient's outcome is very different. So that's why we wanted to know more about this so that we can provide the proper care for these patients. So that's why we, it's a collaborative effort, as Doug said. Like we work with, like it's a group of collaboration with the clinicians at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And I do a lot of proteomics to identify proteins that are actually the causal agents for this disease condition.
And you've made some progress trying to find out the cause here. As you mentioned proteins, that's really the focus or center of a lot of your research right now, isn't it?
Yeah. So as I said, I'm an analytical chemist, and the tool that I use is one of the most powerful analytical tools called mass spectrometer. And we can identify and characterize proteins using this tool. So using the real patient tumor sections, I identified proteins that are unique in this disease condition. And then, as I said—
What did you find? What kind of protein are we talking about?
It's a lysosomal enzyme called acid ceramidase that's involved in lipid metabolism, like ceramide metabolism. And ceramides are basically lipids. And we identified that this protein is highly expressed in patients with shorter survival. So that intrigued us, like, why these patients are having short survival when this protein is more. And we thought, like, inhibiting this protein will help the patients to survive longer. So that's how we started doing more research in this particular protein.
Because although the odds are really, really bad if you do contract this disease, it's not always immediately a death sentence in the 12 to 18 months. There are some people who can survive longer.
Yeah, that's true. Like, as I said, it's not always like the death sentence is 12 months or 15 months. It's like some of the patients, like very few, like 5 to 10% of the patients survive longer than 5 years, even though almost all these patients are getting the similar treatment. So that's what we wanted to know, why certain patients are doing good with the same treatment when few population of the same disease are surviving longer. So, and then we found that this protein is more in the patients who are surviving less, and it's much less expressed in the patients who are surviving longer. So this protein has to do something with the survival rate.
So the research right now is focused on that protein?
Yes. That's what we are trying to do, like, so that, because when we saw that this protein is highly expressed in patients with shorter survival, we thought if you inhibit this protein, probably these patients also can survive longer as the rest of the population.
So Doug, at the Institute, is the hope that you will be developing a drug that could decrease or limit the presence of that protein that seems to be an accelerant in this particular cancer?
Yeah. So if a protein like Shama described is expressed in the cancer state, if you can prevent that protein from working, from doing its job, you may be able to reduce the cancer effect. And so we develop what are called small molecules. They're chemical compounds that are created through chemical synthesis. And we attempt to essentially block that protein with a small chemical. Think about a lock and key, is that the protein is the lock and the compound is the key. Well, we want to put the key in there and break it off, so that that protein can't work. And so the discovery of drugs usually follows an iterative process where you synthesize a molecule that you think has the drug-like properties that you want. You test it, see whether it really works, and then maybe improve upon that. And then through various cycles of that, you can create a pattern of drug structures and effects. And then based on that, it can point you to the direction of what the optimal drug might look like. But think that developing a drug is difficult because in many cases it's orally available. You take it by mouth. It has to get into circulation. For brain cancer, it has to get into the brain. So these are all challenges along the process of developing a drug, but it's very much an iterative process. That's why it takes a long time. Developing a good drug can often take decades, but that's really what we do is focus on that front end, making that key to fit into the lock.
Shama, you mentioned the spectrometer, the mass spectrometer, mm-hmm. that is helping you to essentially peek inside that cancer and discover the role that this protein is playing. Where do the physicians, where do the clinicians come into this process? How do you connect with the medical community that's actually treating the patients who are suffering this disease?
Yeah, as I said, these proteins also act as biomarkers. Like when I said, this protein is more expressed in the patients with shorter survival. So if we can see that beforehand, when this protein is more in certain group of patients, then we can tailor the clinicians can tailor their treatment options, like, okay, probably we need to inhibit this protein, so give this drug that inhibits this protein. So that's a very important information that the clinicians get beforehand, especially because, as I said, once this disease is diagnosed, the survival is like less than 1.5 years. So that 1.5 years is very critical to provide the proper care so that we can extend it beyond that 1.5 years. That's how this biomarker, which is the same protein, that information is going to help the clinicians in the patient care.
Now, do you see any patients yourself in the Discovery Institute?
Yeah, actually, not in the Discovery Institute, but we work closely with the Medical College of Wisconsin, and it's a close collaboration with the Brain Tumor Group, which includes all the basic scientists, researchers, and also the clinicians who take care of these patients. So I get to see these patients, and I get to know not all the details, but at least we know that these are the samples that we are getting from the real patients that come to the clinics for the treatment. So that kind of information we share, and we try to provide better care for these patients.
How far along are you in developing an actual drug that could be used to fight that protein, to as Doug said, put the key in and snap it off so that it can't keep reproducing?
Yeah, I mean, this protein or the enzyme actually is already in, people are studying this in other cancers. And acetyramidase has a huge role in cancer promotion, like tumor promotion in other cancers also.
So it's not just the
glioblastoma? Not just in the glioblastoma, but in glioblastoma, we are the first ones to report it. And testing it in the glioblastoma is the first in our group. But this has already been in study for pancreatic cancer and colon cancer. And one of the inhibitors for this particular enzyme, Carmophore, is in use in Japan for almost like 3 to 4 decades. Not in USA. It's not FDA approved for USA. But we are hoping, because it's already in use for human beings in somewhere in the different part of the world, but still for humans. So we are hoping that if we can repurpose it for glioblastoma, it is much closer to going into the clinical trials and into the clinics, actually.
Those clinical trials that Shamat talked about just a moment ago, Doug, that really is where the rubber meets the road, right?
In
terms of knowing whether or not those hours, hundreds, thousands of hours looking at these proteins through your microscopes, whether or not it actually is going to work in terms of humans.
That's right. Yeah, and our Drug Discovery Institute is exactly that. It's discovering the drugs, establishing proof of concept that the molecules really have desirable drug-like properties. The clinical trials goes to the next step, and that's usually through partnerships with pharmaceutical companies or with startup companies to provide the big resources necessary to do that and the infrastructure to do that. So we really focus on the discovery, and then we partner with other firms for the downstream development.
You're listening to UWM Today, and this is WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack in the studio today. Two of the folks who help lead the discovery of new drugs and potentially new treatments for a variety of diseases. Doug Stafford is director of UWM's Institute for Drug Discovery, and Shama Mirza, assistant professor of chemistry. She's also director of the Shimadzu Laboratory for Advanced and Applied Analytical Chemistry. That's a mouthful, but that really is critical to your work, isn't it, Shama?
Yes,
the fact
it
that
is.
These are the folks who help supply the equipment that
yes.
you're using in your research.
Yes. As you said, Doug is the director of the Milwaukee Institute of Drug Discovery, and which houses this Shimadzu Laboratory for Mass Spectrometry. I'm not repeating the same long name, but it houses the state-of-the-art mass spectrometers and several other analytical tools that we can use for these drug discovery studies. So it has all the equipment that you can start from the discovery of the drug, like from the synthesis, and you can characterize, you can confirm that by using all different kinds of mass spectrometers, including like the triple quadruple mass spectrometer, high resolution mass spec. And even you can, once you give this drug and you want to do the bioavailability studies and you want to look where the drug is reaching or not, and all those in vivo studies can be done in the same laboratory. So everything is included, and even the imaging mass spec, which is not very common in all the institutes, is what is in our institute. So that is very unique, and we have all these equipment that is helping us with this effort.
So you've got this huge arsenal of tools that
yes.
you could use in what essentially is a hunt. It's like a scavenger hunt, isn't it, for that signal, that sign, that protein, that may be the clue to what's causing these cancers.
Yes, yes.
How long have you had this type of equipment? How long has it been on the market? Is this relatively new that you have these very, very powerful instruments to peer into the cells?
Yeah, mass spectrometry has been available for a long time. Some of the newer techniques, like Shama mentioned, imaging mass spectrometry is fairly new, and it's a real state-of-the-art technique. But I think having this laboratory really shows you the value of a corporate partnership. The Shimadzu Scientific Instruments Company partnered with us. They provided over $1 million in grant funding for us to put the center together. We have 6 state-of-the-art mass spectrometers, where the kind of work that Shama's doing and many others in our institute are doing would not be possible but for these kinds of resources. And so that's what a partnership does. It brings that kind of resource. Also, within that partnership, they provide enhancements. So as new technologies become available, they're placed in our laboratory. We can evaluate it, understand whether it works for us or not. So it's really been a two-way street where knowledge is created, and we try to expand the state of the art and the technology and how we're applying that in drug discovery. So it's really been a productive collaboration.
So those tools help you do the detective work. Talk about the partnerships that you have with the companies that are actually going to develop the drugs.
Well, there have been a few. And so being on the discovery end, when we come up with a new technology or new idea that may have commercial potential, we work with the UWM Research Foundation, which patents the inventions. And based on those patents, they have the responsibility or the obligation to license the technology to either startup companies or pharmaceutical firms. And so that's where kind of the next step goes in the discovery. And so it requires partnerships. There's so many technologies and expertise and infrastructure and capabilities in order to take a drug from basic discovery through the shelf and the pharmacy. And so that's where we work very closely with other firms to try to get those next steps in place. And so with respect to startups, we also help a number of companies, or have helped a number of companies, kind of take their ideas from a university setting into a small startup and try to get the basic data together for them to raise money. And so the institute and the Shimadzu lab really has a lot of tentacles out in the drug discovery world, whether it's in our own campus laboratories or in kind of the entrepreneurial ecosystem within the community. And so we try to reduce the barriers for people working with us, because we really do have some pretty specialized instrumentation as well as expertise, as you see here. And so we try to make that available, and I think take our role as public university very seriously is making our technology available.
Shama, when you're doing your research, do you ever have those epiphany moments, those aha moments where you say, I've just discovered something I didn't know yesterday or anyone has seen before? Or is it a much more gradual process of discovery?
No, I think with a certain goal to identify what is unique in this disease, we started this. But then the aha moment is like when we really found what is triggering all these survival differences. So that is definitely, I should say that we are, our efforts paid off when we identified that. And when we tested the drug, that is the Karmophore, which is already in use in somewhere else in the world, actually we thought like, oh, this is really good because it can go into the clinics very sooner, because that's what we need for this kind of lethal disease.
It's got to be very gratifying.
Yes.
When you have that moment.
Exactly.
Any champagne bottles pop in? Or not yet, right?
Yeah, not yet. Yeah, we are almost there.
What about predicting whether someone is likely to develop a disease like these brain cancers? Can you test for the presence of that protein? Would that be a marker or a signal that someone should be watched because they are more likely victim of a disease?
Usually, like, it's not just one protein that triggers these kind of diseases. As I said, this is also in other cancers too. So when we see that this is more in one of the patients or anybody, actually, we cannot just say that this person might be having this particular disease like glioblastoma. It could be anything. So it has to be a panel of biomarkers or group of like several candidates that could be triggering that, and we are working on that too. So it's another parallel study that we are working on. So yeah, but definitely that is another goal that we are working on right now.
Of course, that's one of the maddening things about cancer.
Exactly.
There are so many variables in play that each time you turn around, I suspect you find another question.
Another question, yes, exactly. Because it's such a complex disease itself. Like within the glioblastoma itself, it is very heterogeneous. The tumor itself has so many different cells. They are different from each other. So you cannot really say that all the cells are having this protein, so it has to be aggressive. So it's very complex to understand even now. So, yeah, that's what we are working towards.
You mentioned earlier that you once worked at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Those relationships continue today, correct?
Yes. It still continues, and we are still collaborating with the clinicians over there with the brain tumor group. And that's how this is an ongoing successful project along with the drug discovery group and the brain tumor group at UWM and MCW.
Yeah, that's just amazing work. Doug, as you take a look down the road at what the Discovery Institute might accomplish 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what are your hopes for the Institute?
Well, I think to have the projects go to the next stage. And so we've done discovery. I think we've done a pretty good job of that. But really, we're doing this to impact human health. And so to see these projects move through clinical trials to then be used in clinical practice, and so that we can really change that number as far as the 5-year survival rate in glioblastoma, or to have a better pain medication or a better asthma medication so that people are really using. That's the ultimate goal. And, you know, there certainly is excitement on our side of it. And in the process, I think we're doing a lot of good things. When you think about what the Institute does, among the faculty laboratories, we produce 5 or 6 PhDs every year, 2 or 3 master's students. And so we're educating the next generation of drug discovery scientists. And so part of what happens out there 5 or 10 or 20 years, you will see the legacy of what we do by having that next generation of scientists really kind of take the baton and study new problems and establish new collaborations based on what they learned at UWM.
How active is the pharmaceutical industry here in southeastern Wisconsin?
Well, it's probably not that active. There are some companies that are very good. There are some contract manufacturers, for example, that are world-renowned. We're not really the hub of the pharmaceutical industry. And when you go down to Chicago, there are a number of companies, and then out on the coast. But I think what we have, which is really exciting, is more of the entrepreneurial, the front end, the startups, and that a lot has been happening on our campus, as you well know, and in the community, to foster startup companies. And so part of what we're very active in, and I think, again, part of the legacy in 5 or 10 or 20 years, is to see what startup companies have started from our research that are now successful companies that are pharmaceutical companies, or at least along that pathway. So I think that we're planting a lot of seeds, and those are going to grow and mature. And I think that's part of the value that we bring to it. You have to look at drug discovery in the long view. Typically, it's 15 years or more from an idea to a drug, and many hundreds of millions of dollars potentially. And so you have to look at successes along the way, and I think we're making a lot of those. But ultimately, we want to impact human health.
We're in a big political season this year. Of course, the topic of drug cost always is with us in or out of a political season. Are you, now that you're doing so much work, as you do day in and day out, trying to develop these new drugs, does the cost of pharmaceuticals surprise you, given what you know about the process of creating them?
I guess it doesn't surprise us. We know the inputs as far as the amount of time and talent. You think about the amount of training, like someone like Shama has to do this kind of work. It really attracts the brightest and the best people, and it costs. The type of work that we use, it's expensive. The instrumentation, some of these instruments are $1 million instruments, and it takes a long time. Clinical trials are very expensive, so we know what the input costs are. But that being said, I think a good drug can impact cost. A better solution to the problem might be a lower cost drug. And I think we're very mindful of that. And so when we look at, say, the compounds that we're developing for asthma, for example, it's based on a chemical synthesis that can be done relatively inexpensively. And so we think that this is a better first line therapy where many patients can use it who otherwise not be able to afford the drug. So we very much think about those things very early on.
Shama, you've committed a lot of your life, a lot of your time, mm-hmm. focusing on the search for drugs, treatments for cancer. Is that where you're going to be focusing your work going forward? Will you always be looking at, for example, the brain cancers that you're working on? Or do you have other ambitions in terms of your own course of your career?
Career-wise, I think this is one of my primary interests, to work on the glioblastoma biomarkers and to find the drugs that are more efficient than the current therapy. Once we achieve that, I think that's a big deal, like for the, because this has always been one of the most lethal cancers of all the time. So if we can provide a better therapy, that's a huge impact that we'll have on the these patient population. So that's definitely is one of my interests. But we are also interested in other cancers too. Like I'm working with another clinician at the Medical College of Wisconsin on endometrial cancer and another kidney disease condition for pediatric patients, which has constrictive ureters. So there is another disease which is affecting the very infants, like the newborns to very young kids. So these are some of the diseases that are and that they don't have the cure for these diseases. So if I can find biomarkers and better therapy for these patients, I think that would be very, very much of my interest. So, yeah.
But it's not solo work. Doug mentioned before, it's not just one person sitting over a microscope or at a lab bench. You depend on a whole network of colleagues to help find that elusive answer to what causes these cancers.
Yes, these kind of works actually cannot be done by just one person. It has to be a collaborative effort, and it has to be in a lab where you have all these facilities that we have in the drug discovery lab. And it has to be, because this is all about patient care, the clinicians should have their input and how reliable and how efficient this is in the clinic. In even though, like, we are, as a basic scientist, we come up with these solutions, but it has to be put into practice. So we have to have this collaboration with the basic scientists and researchers with the clinicians at the same time.
So. Just amazing work. And again, it's a long game, Doug, right?
It sure
it's
is, yes.
Not something that happens overnight.
And there's a lot of failure along the way. You know, there's a statistic that maybe only one of 5,000 compounds that are synthesized in a drug discovery effort ever make it through. And so you have to understand that you know, this is an iterative process. Maybe your best first idea isn't going to be the ultimate idea. And so it takes tenacity and it takes a long view. And part of what we want to do, and really is the top of our mission, is training great scientists so that they can go out and practice this field on their own. And so they're learning a lot along the way.
Shama Mirza and Doug Stafford, both part of UW-Milwaukee's Institute for Drug Discovery, our guest on this edition of UWM Today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Ujak.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.